views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant, Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I am tasked with the awesome job of sharing information that can help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, my guest is someone very special to me, a woman named Derry Latimer. And over the last few years, Derry has become a friend and a mentor to me. She is a speaker who actually holds the designation CSP, which is Certified Speaking Professional, which I have to tell you, fewer than 12% of speakers globally can say this. And it basically means that she's passed an international measure of excellence for professional competence, proven experience, and optimal client satisfaction. Now, Derry is an expert in positive possibilities for people. And I've had the honor of shadowing her at some of her speaking engagements. She works with organizations and helps them to create happy, healthy, humane workplaces, which of course results in increased productivity, positivity, and prosperity. And she is absolutely phenomenal at that. I've also seen her speak to our Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, which it's that group. That's how I met her, as well as in her TEDx talk. And I share this because in both of these situations, she shared a much deeper personal story. And I believe that it's these stories that have really shaped her into the beautiful, caring, compassionate person that she is today, who truly is on a mission to increase the conversation around mental health in every area, not just the workplace. So I've invited Derry here today for several reasons, but two of them are, number one, because she truly is a vibrant and powerful mom. And she says that everything she creates is with the hope that it will help to craft a better world for her two beautiful kids, who she is extremely proud of. And number two, to help shine a light on the very important topic of mental health. Derry, my friend, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom community.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I am thrilled to be here with you.
Awesome. So I'm hoping that we're going to have time to talk about what you as a woman do, you know, because you're a mom, a wife, a daughter, a very busy professional, an entrepreneur, a volunteer, and so on and so on. And so I'm hoping we'll have time to talk about what you do to keep yourself vibrant and sane. But before we go there, I'm thinking that we should talk a bit about that darker period in your life where things didn't feel quite so bright and easy. So can you give us a little synopsis of what was going on at that stage in your life?
Sure. So this is going back many years, so almost 30, I guess, at this point, right after I finished university. And maybe I'll even back up from that just because I see it as part of the story. But before I went away to university, my father died of a massive coronary, and I had just graduated high school, and I learned very quickly after that about this thing called stress, which I didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. And I realized that that was a big contributor to my father's death, was stress. And in those days, no one talked about stress and stress management, and certainly right. My father didn't attend to that. So really, I was propelled to go to university to kind of, you know, help do something so that people didn't die from work. And so I was really pretty motivated at that point around contributing in some positive way. So right after university is when I shortly after I met a beautiful man and we got married, and 8 months into our marriage, he died by suicide. And, you know, I remember, at that moment, although much of the initial time frame was really one of a fog, as anyone who experiences a trauma of some kind can certainly appreciate. And I remember with some of the things I do remember at that time was really questioning myself, my worth, my what I may have contributed to this horrible thing. And I really, you know, way back in those days, Debbie, there were very few resources on a topic like suicide. I remember I would wander into bookstores looking for anything I could find. You know, we didn't have an internet in those days, and and just looking for any information to help me understand. I couldn't understand that someone would do that. It was a complete shock to me. I had no idea that that my husband at the time was struggling, and I think that was really the first time I got to know this thing called shame, because I realized that I didn't want to tell anyone. I was ashamed. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I want to point out two things that you just said there that go so perfectly together. When there isn't information about something, when we don't talk about something, when we pretend that something doesn't happen, that's exactly what occurs, is this intense feeling of shame, because you're the only one. Obviously, you've done something to add to this or to cause it or whatever. And those two things often come together, which is why there is so much now that we're starting to say, let's talk about these things. Let's make them a conversation, right?
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah, absolutely. I think that they absolutely go hand in hand. And, you know, the when I did the TED Talk, which you referenced in the intro, that was the first time I call that my coming out of the closet moment. That was the first time really that I, you know, in a big way told that story. So even though I'd been speaking for many years, and absolutely I knew, and people close to me knew that story, and I knew how important it was for me to help people with resilience strategies, I still hadn't said it out loud. And, right. So it was, there's no question that as you say, this, the not speaking out, when we keep that hidden, we really still stay in that shame state, because, well, if I'm not speaking about it, then there must be something wrong.
Yes. You know, I often think of it as our tapestry of life. And I think Barbara Coloroso, her daughter, at one point said that cancer was just one little piece of her tapestry, and she didn't want it to become who she was. And so I often think of this tapestry of life, and the only way we can weave in our experience and stop it from being a dominant story that is still directing us in some way and perhaps causing us a lot of pain and such, is to actually weave it in. And to do that, you have to show it. You have to, because a tapestry is something visual, right?
Love it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you can put your finger on the few things that you did at that time, because I know it's an ongoing process and it's something that you've been doing, but are there any little pieces you could share that helped you to get through that particular period in time so that you could carry on?
Yeah, for sure. So the first for me was seeking information. So as I mentioned, I tried to find out as much as I could about, to learn. I often, you know, that's my go-to position, is to try to figure things out, to learn. The next thing I remember vividly at that time was to continue to move forward. So I knew, I could feel that when I was not moving forward, that I was sinking. And so I sinking emotionally, and I think that would have been physically as well. So I focused on, at that moment, because I changed geographic locations, I moved back to Manitoba. I moved forward looking for a job. And so I ensured that every single day I got up, I got dressed, and I focused on accomplishing as much as I could around that task. So again, back in those days, you actually physically handed in your resume. So I would spend time getting my resume together, taking it out and taking it to organizations. And then the third thing, so again, information, moving forward. And then the third thing was to continue with the people who I knew loved me and knew this story and would give me really good information. I talked to those people about how I could move forward, and I listened to all of their good points. So they all said really wonderful things about me and the possibilities for me for my life, and shared any strategies they had that would help me to move along. So I sought information from the outside world. I looked ahead, and I sought guidance from people who I knew had my best interest at heart.
Nice. That is such a key piece, right? The supports. So many of us, especially as women, it's like we feel we have to prove ourselves. And so we don't want to ask other people for help, or we don't, we know we need assistance, but we don't want to feel like we need assistance. You know, it's that little catch 22. So I love that you said that about the support. And I guess if we had more time, I'd love to talk to you a bit more about how moving forwards isn't the same as busy work and just burying yourself into busyness, because that's some people will do that. So there is a bit of a difference there. And I love how you said you move forward by, you know, getting up, getting dressed, and going out and actually doing something.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think those are just really key pieces that I'm hoping people will pick up from this, because it's different how every one of us will do it. And actually, that's the one other point that I wanted to make is I'm actually very pleasantly surprised that the guidance you were given was all good and fit you, because so often people with good intentions will put out stuff and you know it doesn't feel like you, but you hear it and it makes sense and you sort of go, okay, then I guess I have to do that. And so I really want people to tune in to the fact that you were still trusting your own intuition. It's just that in this case, things lined up. You attracted exactly what you needed to you.
Yeah.
Right? So it's so fascinating. I could just dig deep into that for hours. But how about we go back now to your TED Talk? You said that's the first time you talked about it. And I know because I've seen your TED Talk. And just so people know, I will put the link up so that you can go and check out this talk. It's well worth checking out. But you had a really tough decision to make there, you know, that caused you a lot of angst and related to your children. Would you like to share that?
Yeah, for sure. So I, as I was preparing for that talk, I again wanted to honor TED and TED program, which is really that it be an idea worth sharing. I knew that this was not about me and I care about the audience whenever I speak. So I didn't want to just dump something on the audience and leave them with nothing that would be useful for them. So I decided to position it around telling the story of the night I told my kids this secret that I had. And so the TED Talk was in 2013, and this was 7 or 8 years previous when I told my children that I had been married before. They didn't know that, and that my husband died by suicide. And I remember, it, you know, it was practicing for that. I still say that was the biggest speech I ever practiced for, was the, yes, was the one telling my two beautiful kids. And of course, you know, what I shared in the TED Talk is that as they do, you know, they really taught me so much in that one evening about, you know, their complete lack of judgment. Because even at that point, I, you know, shame was still present. So I still worried that there might be, you know, how am I going to explain, you know, what I might have contributed to this terrible thing. And so it was just a moment of pure love from them. And you know, they were just curious, but in a loving way about, and really cared about me. You know, I shared in that talk that my, my daughter, who said really nothing the whole time I was telling them this, other than having her hand on my, my arm, just finally said at the end of it, "Are you okay, Mom?"
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It was just a moment, you know, when I'm 103, you know, I will still remember. It was just the most loving moment. Yeah. So that was how I positioned the talk.
Nice. How old were your kids at that time?
So they were 11 and 8 at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so much there too, because kids are so resilient and they are able to handle things. It doesn't mean that we should dump on them all the gory details, but when we trust and recognize that if this is a part of myself and they love me, they will accept it. They will understand it. And it might be difficult, but in the end, everybody grows and the relationship grows. So I know I got chills. I remember watching your TEDx talk, and I really strongly advise people to go and take a listen. You can watch it, right? It's on YouTube.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just so moving and wonderful. So yes, I love that. Now let's zip forward to current day. All right.
Yeah.
And back in September, so not very long ago, you wrote an absolutely beautiful and heart-wrenching blog about your mom and her journey with Alzheimer's. Once again, I'll post a link to the blog because I really strongly think people should read it. It was a wonderful article. And in there, you talk about the unexpected gift of your mom's slow and painful decline with this disease. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I sure can. So I, and thank you for that comment. Yeah, I, you know, I've been thinking about writing something for quite some time. I often do speak about it when I'm out doing, speaking on resilience or anything related to, you know, strategies for wellness and well-being. And so I often do talk about my mom, and I find it always resonates with a pretty large percentage of the population in the room. Even people who are very young know someone, it might be a grandparent who is struggling with this. So the blog that I wrote is that, you know, first of all, you know, this is not to say there's anything good about Alzheimer's. None of us wish that upon anyone, of course. However, what I've discovered is that, you know, I used the message that I wrote to look for, as I always do, just what around all of this have we all experienced as a family? And although, you know, if we focus only on what mom is experiencing, it's very, very sad. And so I use a strategy in the sessions that I'm doing with groups, and I use it regularly with our family. And that is to, you know, first just accept that it is what it is, to second decide what we want from this situation, this horrible situation that we're faced with, that our mom's rapid decline, and then to move toward the vision of what we want. So what I've discovered in using that little strategy, and also in my experience over the many years now that she's been in this rapid decline, is that it's a way for all of us to stay connected. So because we go visit mom and we all go as often as possible, it brings all of us together to share stories about our, you know, family background. Like, grandkids come out. And I don't think the grandkids would even see each other as much if we didn't have this place to constantly go in our family, which happens to be around our mom. And of course, interestingly enough, our mom was always the one that brought us together. So it's that's the unexpected gift, is that it really is a way for us to come together. So now when I go with joy and a sense of fun I really look forward to it, because I want to connect with my mom. We always hold her hand and, you know, rub her back, but also I get to see all my extended family who's coming, and we have lots of laughs, and it's just like the old days in Mom's Ukrainian kitchen, you know, when we got together and laughed and right. shared food. Yeah.
You know, and I remember as I was reading the article, I had chills when you were talking about how your lives get so busy and your kids are busy doing stuff and you're all going in a different direction, and how you'd be talking to one of your siblings and say, so I'll see you at Mom's. Yeah. See you at Mom's. And, you know, that is, like you say, what pulls you guys together and keeps that connection. And it is a really beautiful way to focus on the positive. And this has come up with many of the people that I've interviewed, that whole idea. And it's important that we remember it's not about burying your head in the sand and pretending it's not happening. I love what you said there, Derry, about that acceptance. Like, this is what it is. And we don't have to like it, but we do have to accept it. And we do have to use it in whatever way we can to still live an empowered life. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that as well. And it's, you know, I when I'm sharing this with groups, and it sounds like it wouldn't make such a difference, but it makes such a difference to just say to yourself, I accept. So I accept that Mom has Alzheimer's, and it's not, you know, it's not a barrel of laughs. It's not great. It sucks. Right. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But if you just say I accept, it somehow puts you in a place of then now what do I want? Now what do I want to create? And that's this sort of vision piece that I mentioned. It just releases you. You're no longer pushing away from this thing that's terrible. You're now moving toward the thing you want to create. So it's very much, I think, like what I did, you know, after Kelly died. It's that instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, this horrible thing, you're not denying it, but you're now moving your energy to move toward, what do I want to create? What do I want to... And it does change your experience, in my, you know, is what I've found.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's that whole being, it reminds you to be who you truly want to be, because when you just allow the stress of something and you focus on the negativity, you become that stressed out, frustrated person who's no fun to be around at all. Right?
Exactly.
And instead, this brings out that beautiful side of you that allows you to be who you really want to be and who your mom would want you to be. So,
yeah.
I love it. Love it, love it. Strongly suggest again that people read that blog, because it is very good, very well done. So I'm hoping what people will get from listening to this is that this Derry's life and the stories that she shared, and of course we're just touching on the very surface of them, really to me show that resiliency. Mm-hmm. And I talk about how resiliency actually isn't something that we have to learn how to do. It's a part of who we are. It just gets covered up and we don't realize it's there, and we get disconnected from it. So I really love how this part of your story shows true resiliency, you know, and a willingness to search for the good, and that ability to not take these things all personally. And I know there was times where you did and you have felt that shame and everything else, but really recognizing that's the ego side of you. And if you stay there, it puts you into victimhood. So I love how you have brought all that together quite naturally in your life. So let's take a few minutes now and talk about, what do you do to keep yourself so vibrant and friendly and, you know, connected to who you really are? And I just want to put in one other piece there that, I mean, I really, truly admire your willingness to show up as you in the world. And when I say that, I know other people might not know you. So go check out the video, the YouTube video. Check out Derry's picture. I just really want you to see that Derry is a person who is her own unique person with her own unique style. And she stands out. When she walks into a room, she stands out hugely. And I love this about her, her willingness to say, hey world, here I am. Take me as I am and love me for who I am, or don't, your choice.
Exactly. So sorry. So you said, just to sort of share, what do I do every day now?
Just some of the things you do to stay vibrant and healthy and...
Thank you so much. So I do, you know, it's interesting, again, not to overly repeat myself, but I do some of the things that I mentioned earlier on. I'm a voracious reader, so I'm continually online and ensuring that I'm I'm learning what I can share with audiences, but also what I can apply to myself. So everything I share in my message are things that I do myself. So I do have a practice of meditation, of mindfulness, and I find that starting my day with that really helps me to stay focused on what I want to create that day and to tone down some noise that might get in the way and might not be useful for me, but also to honor some of that noise when I need to, and to make adjustments where I need to. So as you had mentioned earlier, not squish it down, but to mindfully look at what might be going on and what choices I need to make, to continually move toward what I want. So I'm very aware of what is present and what's going on around me, but also to look ahead at what I want to create. I do that. And, you know, some of the basics, Debbie, are dear to me, and things by basics, I mean, you know, a really good eating well, and I work out every single day. And I find that, that as far as keeping a healthy, resilient, bouncy brain, those are some of the things that just I honestly couldn't live without. And then very finally, having people like you in my life and other people who are similarly real and willing to engage with me about creating a better world. So I attend to all of those things, the physical, mental, emotional, and social parts of my life, and give each of them lots of time. And of course, I can't leave this show without saying, and my family is central to that. So I'm very clear about my purpose here on earth. And that is to hopefully leave it, and not planning on leaving right away, but hopefully leave a mark here that will create a better space for all those who come after me. And of course, I have my two kids always in my mind and heart every day.
Nice. Oh, I love that. There's just, and I know that you truly walk that talk. So I just want to put a little plug out there for any of you that are listening that might work for an organization that likes to have someone come in or recognizes the importance of emotional health. Derry is a phenomenal speaker. She really is. And you would love having her. So Derry, we are very quickly running out of time. And it has been such a pleasure having you here with me today. I think we could talk for hours. I know we could. We have. I really, truly appreciate your time, your vulnerability, your willingness to bear it all. And I'm guessing that your story is one that most of our listeners could relate to in one way or another. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I know you have a gift that you want to share with our listeners. It's an ebook, and it is entitled, What's Your Story? You Decide. And what Derry and I decided to do is if you go and sign up for her blog, she will send you the ebook. So it's not quite the same as going and opting in on a website. You're just going to go and subscribe. And I'll have the link up for that. So you can do that. Derry, is there anything quickly that you'd like to say about that book?
It's my story, and then embedded all the way through the story are strategies, resilient strategies at the end of each of the 10 chapters, the 10 pieces. But it goes a little bit deeper into the story and some of the things that were going on in my mind, and then some of the things that I did to help me move through.
Okay, awesome. So that link will be up. All those links I talked about will be up. You can find out more about Derry at her website, which is derrylatimer.com. You probably don't know how to spell that, but it's on my blog, and it's also on the Transformation Talk Radio page that is attached to this interview. So thank you once again, Derry, and a big thank you to our listeners for taking some of your precious time to tune in and listen to us. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Derry Latimer, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.